Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. During today's podcast, we'll be interviewing Ben Calderon, a web developer and a tech enthusiast, on the topic of technology, usage, and social media. We hope you enjoy it and that you find the ideas intriguing for everyday use. Without nothing else to say, let us begin. Welcome back, everybody, to Disruptive Adventism. Today, we're going to be talking about technology, as I pointed out in the introduction. And today, we have Ben Calderon with us. We're going to be talking about different topics within technology and pros, cons, different things, and all of the intricacies that are entangled within this difficult topic and how to traverse it as a Christian, how to traverse it as an Adventist. How's it going, Ben?
It's going great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here. It's a privilege. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into this important topic. And let's just talk, like, so what do you do and what are your plans for the future?
All right. So I am right now a web developer. That's during the day. During the night, I am kind
Save the world.
But I enjoy doing development in embedded systems and Linux kernel. It's something that I really enjoy. So that's my part of technology, I guess.
Okay, so you're kind of savvy into this world. You code, you do coding?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we'll talk a little bit about that today, too. And what are some of the plans for the future? Just keep working?
Yeah, I'm trying not to go technical. I'm thinking about where can technology, and this is the part that always intrigues me, where can technology benefit us as humans? Where can technology find a connection that helps us as human beings, as persons and individuals? And not only what is the new shiny thing that can be built, but how can we use technology for, you know, to better ourselves?
Okay, good. Well, let's start with the discussion. Let's start talking about a little bit about technology. So you are a web developer, right? So
yes.
What are some of your responsibilities? What does that entail?
Well, the websites that you guys go to, you write www.somewebsite.com, and the colors that are shown, the buttons that you click, the way things move when you scroll up or down, whatever, that is what I do. I take designs from designers and just make them into, if I can call them, websites that are alive that you can, you know, interact with.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I do. Yeah.
Okay. So that requires a level of knowledge that is coding, right? So you do coding, you kind of talk with computers per se.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's kind of like knowing how computers think and then they don't think, but kind of knowing how computers speak and then giving tasks to the computer in a way that they can perform them.
Now, technology has been advancing in the last couple of years, and there is a huge advent into coding, into social media, into all of these things. So let's start with this question. Why is it important for an individual to be technologically savvy?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And today, and for the past couple of years, we have seen this huge movement towards teaching even kids about STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Because nowadays, we are not struggling to hunt for food. We are not so much in the fields, you know, gathering and harvesting, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe we should a little bit more, but our life has changed in such a drastic way that a lot of us spend time in the computer, and those that are able to talk with the computer and not only use it, but program it to do custom things are getting ahead of those that just depend on others to create things that they can use in the computer. So I guess one of the things about why technology is important for us nowadays is mostly because how our world is shaped by computers. We buy things on a cell phone. We write letters and communicate with people, some friends, with our computers and with our cell phones. And then the world now works in a way similar to the way computers works, because when we do a bank transaction, that was a developer that designed that database. And then when I open a website, yes, it's tried. We need to find a way to make that website user-friendly. But at the same time, we're expecting a person to know how to move a mouse and click somewhere and then have this kind of technological intuition, if I can call it that way, to be able to navigate through all these tools that are being created. And when we are able to, it eases our lives immensely. Mm.
What I hear from you right now is that there is, you know, we have this notion of common sense, mm-hmm. things that you kind of need to do in the world to survive. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like, don't touch the things that are hot.
Yeah.
Don't stick your tongue in the ice, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. Yeah, Those are common sense things. But you're talking maybe a little bit of a like digital common sense.
That's a great way to put it, and that's exactly what it's happening. We have these 10-year-old kids, 11, 12, and we look at them interacting with technology, and they have this technological common sense in which they know where to click, and they are not afraid about closing or opening things or whatever, as maybe some other people that look at a computer and they're like, there are so many buttons, I don't want to touch anything because I feel I'm going to break it. But yeah, it's that technological common sense is something that is almost required for modern technology nowadays.
Yeah, and it's part of the environment, it's part of the work environment. So
it is.
As you say, you know, technology is very important for the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, I mean, we are here in the 21st century,
yeah,
and we need to interact. Let's talk about some of the positive things about technology, right? That you have encountered. You are working with computers, you're working with systems, operating systems, and all of these different intricacies, coding websites, and maybe making lines that make us see something different. What are some of the lessons that you have learned from technology that can be applied into the regular daily life?
Yeah, one of the things, I guess, is that technology has made us lazier. And that I see it as a good thing.
Okay.
And I feel that this, just quoting the podcast title, is a little bit of a disruptive opinion. But I was just yesterday doing something in the kitchen and talking with my girlfriend, and then I remember I need to buy this thing. There's this thing that I need for the kitchen, I need to buy it. So I put my cell phone out. Went to the Amazon app, Google, search for it. By now, 2 days later, it was at my house. I saved the gas to go to a store to buy that. I saved the time to get ready and then go to the store, etc., etc. But what happens is that, what do we do then with all that time? So technology can save us a lot of time, but if we are not aware of the what to do with that time, we usually can end up just wasting it instead of taking advantage of how technology eases our lives and can make us lazier, and then we can actually use time for productive things.
So you're saying that one positive thing is that it allows us to do other things instead of worrying and going to the store and having, like, for example, doing groceries even. Like, you know, you can just order stuff from Amazon, and the time that it takes you an hour to go to Walmart or maybe to go to a local store, you will just spend.
Yeah. Go out, walk around the block, share time with friends, share time with family, read a good book. Those are things that I will not be, before I wouldn't have that time to do because I was going to the store. And that is just putting an example. There are a lot of other small things that are in our day-to-day lives, but that is one example. Allowing me to just buy with a couple of taps in my cell phone frees some time that I can use in other productive things.
Okay.
Hopefully productive things.
Yeah. We'll be speaking about couple of the negative things before, after, you know, we get into a little more of the positive things. Mm-hmm. Now, as a web developer, right, you are speaking the language of computers. And, you know, I took a computer class, so mm-hmm. I took a coding class as well. And one thing that I do remember is that there's like a process, mm-hmm. right? There's a set of commands.
Yes.
So is that like something that you have learned that has helped you to be more organized, or like?
Yes, definitely. The foundations of programming is not really a development language. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of seeing problems and breaking them down into small steps that you can describe to a computer how to do them. Mm. But what happens is that you also find problems or things that you can solve in your day-to-day life, and you can also apply this computational thinking to them. And you can think, oh, I need to clean the garage. Well, that is really not possible. I need to take the car out of the garage. I need to bring the cleaning supplies to the garage. I need to organize and get all the cables or Christmas lights out of the way, and then I can clean the garage. So it allows you to see things and then break them down into a small step instead of just probably procrastinating because, oh, clean the garage, this is gonna take me the whole day. No, you can actually just divide it into small things. So yeah, it's the process is kind of like it's really problem solving. That's the whole process behind that. How do I take a problem, break it down, and then solve it? In this case, to make a website, to work a database, to process certain data, etc., etc. But in real life, to clean the garage, to paint my house, to there are a lot of little things that we find in our day to day. Very, very many, many challenges that. Yeah, we face.
Hmm. Interesting that you point those things. I think that as I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, well, you know, that kind of makes sense. If it's a procedure, step by step, it's easier rather than like having the big task at hand. You know, mm-hmm. little task accomplish the big task.
Yeah,
and they help us in our everyday life. Now, there are different components of technology. So you interact with web developing, and you interact with all of these things. We have social media as, you know, mm-hmm. as an advent. How can an Adventist, you know, or a Christian in this sense, can use technology for their advantage? How is that something that's happening in the space, in the world today?
You know, the first step, and again, following the disruptive theme, if you may, is starting to break down all of these prejudices that we have. For example, a couple of years ago, I remember that we had the box of the devil, which was TV, you know, and that was a true Adventist home shouldn't have a TV. And now we have TV channels that we are preaching, and we have inspirational programs. And even in the newer, in the TV area, even in things like Netflix, we have the Bible series, and we have VeggieTales for the kids or many things. But it took us quite some time to realize that, hey, the TV is a tool that can be used for good or for bad. Same thing with technology, with the internet, with social media. There are a lot of prejudices that we have against social media. It's just a waste of time. You're just trying to publish your life, and you should like be more private, or all those things that we have against social media. But when we start taking them out and then look at social media as a tool that can be used for good or for, I can use a hammer to nail something and put a beautiful painting, or I can just use it to smack somebody, which it will be horrible, but this is not the hammer's fault, is how I use it. So yeah, I guess the first step is just taking down these prejudices and actually just analyzing instead of just taking a dogmatic position. Mm-hmm. And how can social media be used for good? Just like how is my influence be used for good in real interactions? How what I post on Facebook, how the comments that I make, are they constructive? Are they something that it's bringing a little good to the world, or is it just something that is bringing a little more bad into the world? How do we use it? Yeah.
Okay, so it's mainly not about this space, the websites being evil out of themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just like the way you use it can be for good or for evil. And that depends if you want to outreach, if you want to do things with your church, if you want to promote the good life, you know?
I mean, there are definitely websites that are just plain evil, period.
Right. Okay. Okay. Fair.
but there are all these platforms. I'm thinking Vimeo, Facebook, Twitter, custom websites, et cetera, et cetera, that there are tools that we can use. And I believe that God can inspire us to use them in a way to be a good influence and reach people that maybe we couldn't reach in other ways.
This is a great way for us to go into our next kind of topic, because at the same time that I hear you, you know, there's like this positive way of using social media. There's this, hey, I can reach people. I can do a lot of influence. I can help the world. Awesome. However, there is a reality about the usage of social media. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2008, we had Facebook for 2 years. Now it has been 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different platform.
Yes.
It's looking monetization. It's looking for different things. We had the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal, you know. So we're starting to see a different relationship between ourselves and social media. In 2008, we used our phones less than we use it today.
Yes.
Some people are looking at social anxiety, digital anxiety, problems within work, performance because of using your phone too much, maybe playing games like Candy Crush or maybe like Clash Royale or Fortnite, you know, Fortnite is like, you know, nowadays one of the big games that is being played.
Yeah.
So again, like, how do we balance that? Because there's this negative like pull towards social media, technology is like, oh, technology is from the devil because it's not keeping you in task, keeping you. So how do we keep the balance? How do we decide to use it for good and not for our own entertainment or for things that are not helping us?
Yeah. Well, one of the ways is first being aware of the intentions behind social media. Sites like Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, they are designed for you to stay there and spend 2, 3, 4 hours. That's the mind behind it. They're amazing to share ideas and you get a lot of new information, etc., etc. But there's a reason why there's never a page end in Facebook. You never click next page, like if it was a forum or something like that. There's a reason why you can always keep scrolling. And it's exactly because of that. Facebook wants you to stay there for a long time. It's similar to some foods that we eat that definitely we might replace by something healthier, but we start eating this candy bar and it's just so delicious and I want to buy another one and another one, and these Lays are just so crunchy and the sound that they make and the crispiness in my mouth makes me want to buy more.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm aware that this is the idea behind it, I can say, no, I can just eat this amount of chips and this is enough for me. So when we come to Facebook, we kind of need to be aware that this website is designed for me to spend hours here. What am I really searching for? I guess that's the first question. Why am I signing into Facebook? Is it just to catch up? Is it just to see what's new? Is it because I'm bored? And that's one of the worst reasons. When we are bored, we will see how the minutes and the hours just pass away as we look at cat pictures and how this person from second grade went to a vacation and we were ready. So the first step is realizing Facebook, Twitter, social media is designed for me to spend hours there. That's their goal.
Would you say that that's also valid for other websites? Like not only social media websites, but like, let's say like news outlets or maybe the pages that you develop for, even Christian websites, like are they designed for that? Or are isn't everybody trying to catch our attention at the end of the day?
If we come down to attention, yeah, everybody's trying to catch our attention. There are different models. One, Facebook or YouTube, for example, is as the more time you spend here, the more ads you see and the more money they make. Others that have more of an affiliated model is you go to the blog post, you read about this interesting thing, and then there's a button at the end that says, buy the book in Amazon, enroll in this online course, open, sign up for this or whatever. So the idea behind those is not really spend time. It's more like click here, buy this thing or whatever. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's everything that we go, it's really trying to catch our attention, which is not bad in itself. If we make something that doesn't call anybody's attention, it's just going to go unseen. And maybe a quick parenthesis there, that's one of the things that as Adventists, when we are doing evangelism or trying to reach people through social media, Facebook or whatever, we don't take a lot into account. We are placing our Facebook post alongside with all these other posts that have million investing behind them. And we're expecting people to just find this pixelated image with my goodness, Comic Sans font, interesting. And then we wonder, why aren't people seeing what I posted? Why aren't people coming to the Sociedad de Jóvenes? I posted it on Facebook, what's wrong? And it's often that we don't think, I want to make something that will caught people's attention.
Okay, so it's very interesting how you mention it. Like, it makes me chuckle a little. Mm-hmm. You're saying that in order to compete in the space, mm-hmm. you need to have a very good product. Mm-hmm. You cannot put out a half-baked product out there. You need to do well. You need to invest and research what other competitors are doing and kind of match that with your budget or with the things that you're doing. Okay.
I hear
what you're saying. It just makes me chuckle because it's true. You know, it's true that everyone's competing for attention and you need to provide something that's very unique, mm-hmm. something that's different. Now, let's get into a little bit of your personal life and talk about tech and maybe a little bit of spirituality. Mm-hmm. How has tech helped you in spirituality and also in productivity? How are those two areas a little bit related, you know?
Okay, well, I guess the first part, trying to kind of see the positives. While I was studying, something that I enjoyed was that probably 80-something percent or even 90-something percent of all my books were available for Kindle. And I could take my Kindle in the Chicago train and just read there the books that I was reading. And I really enjoy Christian books, especially apologetic philosophy or something like that. So I have so many beautiful memories of reading on my Kindle. I'm reading the Bible on my Kindle and then switching to this other book or whatever. That was something very interesting. Also getting such a huge amount of resources, for example, in the Bible app. I really enjoy going to their different devotionals, and I have read devotionals about how to pray, about living more fully what God wants us to do, finding purpose, devotionals for men, and how to use the particularities that God gave us for His service. And I guess it's common nowadays that we go to the church, mercy. I feel that some people might be offended by this, but we go to the church without a Bible because we have it on our cell phones. It's not one Bible. We have a ton of Bibles, you know, mm-hmm. and I will read the message and then I will see what the NIV says and then I will see how is it translated in Spanish. And it just provides me so much more than usually just a Bible, the Reina Valera or the New King James Version. So it at least for my spiritual life, it has provided all these resources. I get my devotionals every morning in my email. So it's one of the first thing before even going through the rest of my emails of the day. The first thing there is my devotional. So those days that I kind of forget, I got the notification there. So yeah, that's something that has helped me a lot. And also in productivity, immensely. being able to take things out of your mind, out of hoping that I will not forget this, and then putting them in something that you trust, your cell phone, and then that you will, and know that you will get a notification from that, that frees your brain to engage in other things, mm-hmm. you know, instead of just being worried about, oh, I feel that I forgot something, but I can't remember what is it. No, you just write on your cell phone and there it is. So that allows you to be more productive, more, yeah, it's, again, free time and mental energy for things that are more relevant than just remembering, you know, things.
As we start wrapping up, one more area that I kind of want to visit is, you know, we talked about a little bit of like, okay, limit, balance your time with social media and the real world, kind of, you know what you're going into. When do you think is, and everything in this conversation varies from mm-hmm. person to person, but when do you think is a good time to introduce people into these concepts of technology? Like, you know, do you think like we should be recommending children per se, or like, you know, into this kind of balance, or should we just wait for them to be more like grown-ups and kind of leave in that? I talk about this from this perspective, like, you know, technology, or at least these kind of technological mainstream advancements mm-hmm. have just been around with us for the last 18 years. Yeah. It's a very new yeah. space, so we're still struggling with this question. What mm-hmm. as a developer, like, you know, somebody that you see the behind the scenes, you see these things, how they work and how they function in our brains and maybe other things that you have read, when do you think it's a good time to like kind of start introducing the harder concepts and maybe time, screen time or things like that mm-hmm. for children and for youth and young adults?
That is wow. Thank you for that question. It kind of comes again to just taking into account maybe parents or youth leaders or something like that, thinking about how do we talk to our kids about cell phone or something like that. Different parents have different ideas, and some of them is like, you will not touch a computer until like I am 16, which I have no clue how will they manage that. but that's one idea. Another one is just, I'm just giving my 8-year-old a cell phone because he just spends a bunch of time there and I can breathe. But I'm trying to think, for example, about books. Books is something that we think it's necessary, and we start teaching our kids very early to start reading. But with that reading, we are opening a world for them to find good things and bad things in books. They can read something that brings them, uplift them, and change them, and brings home truth and moral and ethics and etc. behaviors, good behaviors. Or they can be reading something like, well, yeah, like the Twilight series, that is just bringing all these crazy ideas about what love, quotes, it's supposed to look like, which is just totally, totally away from what real love is. So it's similar with technology. When we give our kids a computer and then we just don't monitor what they are doing, we have a bunch of YouTube channels that they are targeted specifically for 12 years old. And they're doing a bunch of crazy and stupid stuff that is just like, the point is for 12-year-old to click and click and click and spend 3 hours there. And then a 12-year-old doesn't have the maturity yet to know, hey, this is not a good way to spend my time, you know, or this is not something that is constructive, or this is something that is affecting me. They don't have that yet. So there is where the parents or the tutors or the pastors, we teach them, hey, you know, the computers are great, the same way reading is great, but the same way there are certain things that don't help you when we read them, there are certain things in technology that also don't help you either. Yeah. So there has to be a careful and tactful monitoring of technology. I'm for one believe that teaching technology to kids very early, it's amazing. I am sad that I didn't learn touch typing in school, but some other people learned that in 5th, 6th, 7th grade. They have that advantage nowadays. So, very early, but definitely with good tutors, teachers, parents that are careful and watching and providing guidance through everything that technology has to offer.
Hmm. Very good thoughts. I really like your response. I think it's very thoughtful, and I think that the guidance component is very, very important. Well, thanks a bunch for accompanying us today.
My pleasure.
It's been great. Now, before we tune out, always give the opportunity. You have the final word for our audience. So what do we need to take home when it comes to technology and Adventism?
Mercy. Well, technology, Adventism, technology is a tool. And it is up to us how we use it. It can be something that God can use to reach people, to bring us inspiration, to get us closer to Him. Or it is something that can be used for evil, that can be used to hurt people, to cyberbullying, to waste tons of time in menial things that has no real value. So technology is not good or bad, it's a tool. And in prayer, it is up to us and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to use it in the appropriate way. So definitely, that's it.
That was our interview with tech enthusiast and web developer Ben Calderon. This is the first out of 3 interviews on the topic of technology. We hope that you enjoyed it and that you will apply some of the concepts that you learned today into your everyday life. Thank you for listening today. If you're enjoying the podcast or other content that we're producing here at Disruptive Adventism, we want to invite you to consider contributing through our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Your contribution helps us continue to create a space where Adventism expands its relevance in today's society. I also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.